Let us pray together. Lord God, at the beginning of time, your Spirit moved over the waters. So send your Spirit to us now to open our hearts and minds to receive the recreating power of your word. Through Christ. Amen.
When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Further on in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for fruit, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, for they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Luke 11, verse 4. "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation."
I love stories. I think everyone loves stories. And a really well-told story is very compelling and really gets everyone tuned in. You know, in sports, sportscasters figured out probably about 25 or 30 years ago that in order to engage every person in a household, they need to tell the backstories of the people who are involved. What they were finding was when they actually started to study ratings, that men in the household were very interested in the sports. You know, I mean, they were interested in the competition, you know, in football. They really wanted to see some good hits. You know, they wanted to see these athletes perform. But women, by and large, were not tuning in. They didn't care. So some executive had the idea, well, what if we did a story about the personal lives of the athletes involved? And when they started to air those stories about the people themselves, they found that their viewership doubled in size because all the women in the household that didn't care about the competition of the sports itself started to tune in. And they were interested. Stories have a way of gripping us in a way that very few things do. Now, it's one thing to hear stories about someone else. But when it's your own family, and it's a story you've never heard before, you always perk up just a little bit more. As I've gotten older, I've started to hear stories about my parents, about my grandparents, even about myself, that perhaps people judged I was too young to hear about before, or people just begin to care less about the implications of hearing the stories themselves actually come to light. Whatever the case might be, when you hear your own family story, well, it's even more gripping, right? You want to know more. You want to investigate. You want to get down deep into it to figure out, what is this story that I've never heard before? Well, throughout the next weeks and months, we're going to be studying a story together. But it's not just any story. It's our story. It's our family story. I imagine a dinner table with grandparents and parents and little kids sitting around. And I imagine the youngest child at the table looking at their grandmother, saying, "Grandma, where did all this come from? Why are we the way that we are today?" And I imagine Grandma saying, "Well, let me tell you a story. Before God had created all of these different things, there was land. Before trees had really begun to sprout, before water had really taken its place on the land, God reached down. And with God's hand, God took some dust, some dirt. In Hebrew, the word is adama. Can you say that with me? Adama. Adama. And God formed something out of the dust. Out of this Adama, God created Adam. Can you say that with me? Adam. Which, when we translate it into English, is human, or as the NIV translates it, man. And so God created this human, forming it with God's own hands out of the messy, dusty dirt. And when the human, when the Adam was created from the Adama, the human from the humus, then God breathed into the being's nostrils, and it came to life. And God placed the human into a garden and said to the human, "Serve this place. Work it. Till it. Serve it. I've placed before you hundreds of trees, fruit as far as the eye can see, acres and acres and acres of land filled with trees that are bearing fruit and vegetables that are good for you to eat. The only thing I ask," God said, "is that out of all of these trees, there's one tree, and it's pretty close to the middle of this garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The only thing I ask of you, O human, is that you not eat the fruit of that tree. Because when you eat it, you will surely die." The beginning of our story, explaining the place where we were created, explaining the purpose for which we were created. In Genesis 1, by the way, which is the story that we're used to hearing, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was, and it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Okay. And when God creates humans in Genesis 1, God gives them dominion, rulership over the earth. That's like the 50,000 foot view of creation. But when we get down to ground level here, when we get to sea level, we see that the responsibility that the human has is not dominion over the earth, but servanthood of it. Caring for it, tending it, tilling it, working it as a servant to master relationship, which is a very different posture. And all of these great gifts from God with only one condition, that you not eat from the tree in the middle. Which basically sums up our beginnings as well. There is a small person who is a part of this congregation who shall remain nameless, but you know her. You may have seen her walk up the center aisle this morning during the opening prayer of this morning's worship service. And she is a very well-behaved child. Until you say, don't do that. Whatever that is, you know, use your imagination. Don't do that. And then it's as if the idea of doing that has been planted in her mind, and the only thing that she can do in that moment is that very thing. Is that an experience that you can relate to? With maybe your own kids or your grandkids or other people's kids? Perhaps yourself? Perhaps. Perhaps maybe that describes our story. We have all of these possibilities, but given one limitation, we want to test that. You raise a child to be something, only to find the child rebel against the nurturing environment that you brought the child up in, and they do something else. You wanted them to be a Jets fan, and they put on a Patriots jersey instead. We've got illustrations of this all over the place. So we have possibilities, and only one limitation. And everything is going great, right? We have the story about how the human is divided into male and female for this wonderful, beautiful companionship, which is a story that we read yesterday here for a wedding. Scott and his wife, Casey D'Alessandro, very nice day yesterday here in the sanctuary. And then a new character comes into line. I can imagine the child saying to his grandmother, "Grandma, sounds so wonderful. So why is everything so messed up?" Grandma says, "Well, the story's not over yet. Let me continue." The serpent was more crafty than any other animal in the garden. And the serpent came across the woman in this case. And the serpent said, "Did God really say that you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, is that what God said? That you can't eat from any tree? No, right? Possibilities are endless except for only one small limitation, right? And so the woman, we'll call her Eve, she says, "Well, no, God didn't say that. God said we could eat from any tree, except for the one in the middle. We couldn't eat that one or even touch it, or else God said we will die." So here's an instance of the human who understands the limitation and actually further limits themselves to try and make sure that they don't do that thing, right? Not only can we not eat it, but we cannot even touch it. The serpent says, well, surely you won't die. God knows that if you eat from that tree, that you'll be more like God. You'll be able to tell the difference between good and evil. And the woman, who looks at the fruit on the tree and sees that it is good for food and desirable to the eye and good for attaining wisdom, eats it and gives some to her husband who is with her. Now, I just want to call time out here for a second. We're going to pause from Grandma telling Junior the story, and we're going to talk a little bit about the way that this has been misused. Eve is always the temptress in the story, isn't she? She's always the one who was disobedient. I've heard someone say before, you know, that Eve was the last created and the first to sin. Which is, of course, absolute baloney. If you read the text closely, her husband is right there next to her. They are together. They are in this together. The decision they make to eat that fruit is theirs together. To those who say Eve was the last created and the first to sin, you can say women were the last ones at the cross and the first ones present for the resurrection. Women have a vitally important role in our story. And we celebrate their presence. This is a story about humanity and the way that we test those limits and the way that we are easily led astray. Because, truthfully, the woman, the man, they're already capable of seeing good before they eat the fruit, right? What? Eve sees it. She looks at it. She sees that it's good. She sees that it's desirable. She sees that it is a good thing. Of course, God has taught them what is off limits. God has taught them the limitations. They already have the knowledge of what's good and what's not. I mean, that's kind of the ironic thing about the story, is that the fruit doesn't really give them that. They already have it. But simply having the knowledge does not equip us to make the right decision. And so she takes it, she eats it, she gives some to her husband who is with her, and he eats it. And suddenly their eyes were opened. They were enlightened as to their situation. They saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. And so they sewed together fig leaves, and then they listened closely. They heard the breeze blowing through the trees, much as we will when we step outside. I can see the trees moving outside. And they were suddenly very afraid because they knew they had done the wrong thing. And they thought that the wind blowing through the trees was God walking through the garden. And so they hid because they were naked, because they were ashamed. They became aware of themselves. Before eating of the fruit of the tree, all of their attention was on the garden and on God. They were serving it. They were tilling it. They were working it. They were in communion with God. They were in full relationship with one another. They were completely selfless. But when they eat of this fruit, they become aware of themselves for the first time. And the world, which had centered around God, became very small and became centered on themselves. Which I know is nothing that we can relate to here in this room. We've never had moments of self-centeredness, of selfishness, of taking our eyes off of God to worry about our own selves, to worry about our own nakedness. And so, in this act of disobedience that we have come to know as the fall, the humans are at odds. They're at odds with the ground from which they were created. They're at odds with one another. We were to continue reading on. God says to Adam, "Why did you eat it?" And he points to his wife and says, "Well, she gave it to me. The woman that you created gave it to me." And God looks at Eve and she points to the serpent and says, "Well, he told me to." Which, of course, all of that, again, is nonsense. Passing the buck. Another thing that we have no experience with, by the way. This story is our story. It's the beginnings of our story. And the question becomes, so where do we go from here? How does the story end? Well, look around. The world that we live in is a direct result of human sinfulness, of our disobedience with God for enmity against other people. But thankfully, that is not the end of the story. It's only the part that we are experiencing. All of this sets up the need for a redeemer. The need for someone to come along and right what was wrong. And it had to be someone like us, flesh, blood, tempted, forgiving. And in the passage that Jeff read for us from the Gospel of Luke this morning, Jesus, in helping us to understand what we should be praying for, teaches his disciples to pray for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. That's right, Jan. And so this story is a story of our own limitations, of our own fallenness, and the story of the beginning of God's redemption plan for us. And over the next several weeks, we'll see this story begin to unfold. What a wonderful story it is. Let's pray for a happy ending. Let's pray together. Most holy God, hearing the story of the first humans in the garden and their sin is like looking into a mirror and seeing ourselves. Seeing ourselves disobey the law that you've given to us, not because you want us to trip up, but because you love us. Because you know what's best for us. Lord, forgive us for thinking that we know better than you. And Lord, we thank you that sin is not the end of our story. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who wipes away our sin and frees us to live as your people. So, Lord, guide us and direct us as we walk through this world. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.